Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Alexis Walkenstein. Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. Today's guest is the amazing Megan Harrington. Megan recently wrote and produced a feature documentary for Paulus Productions' Empower and Family Theater Productions titled, wait for it, The Dating Project. Harrington is the ninth child in a family of 11 and a native of Missoula, Montana, but she is here now, Miss Catholic Hollywood. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. You're like my new BFF around town.
Absolutely.
And so excited for you on The Dating Project. We're going to get to all that, but we want to talk a little bit about, you know, you're from Missoula, mm-hmm. Hollywood.
406.
Yes. Very, very different.
One zip code.
One
the
zip
entire
code.
State.
That is crazy. And so here you are in crazy Hollywood. What brought you here? The life of faith? Did Our Lady of Hollywood just appear to you and tell you, come to L.A.?
It was really weird. Yeah, I was asleep, and she appeared. It was up in the left-hand corner. She, come on, it's terrible. I was actually had a seed in the back of my mind for a long time. I had always loved theater, media, and I had always thought it's such a powerful tool to inspire. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved Rudy, I loved Hoosiers, and you left those, you were like, oh, I want to do something more with my life. And I wanted people to feel that through film as well, and more so than I feel sometimes when I go to the theater when I leave. I don't know that necessarily I feel more uplifted, just confirmed in, wow, things are pretty crazy. So I kind of put it in the back of my mind. I ended up working in different places. My sister and I lived in Portland, and then we moved to Ireland. And in Ireland, I met the director of the Montana World Trade Center, and he said, would you come back and, you know, let's talk about working here? And I thought, I don't really want to go back, but I do love being close to my family. It turned out to be a great job. And 7 years later, I was like, oh, I still have this desire. And I ended up with jury duty.
Jury duty?
Yes. So my advice for anybody who is on jury duty, immediately say, if it's a parking violation, death penalty. Because you want out of there. I did not know what was coming. It was a child abuse case.
Oh, no.
So all these people were like, I won't be impartial. I won't. But, and the judge finally said, no more. Everybody who's here, if you get called,
you're on. Jury. Wow.
And so
you were part of this jury.
I ended up getting on the jury. So I went home, I watched A Few Good Men. No, I didn't do that. But I was on the jury, and it was really difficult. And I had never had spiritual direction before. Mm. And we had a great parish priest, Father Sean Raftus. And I said, I'm going to go talk to him and just kind of talk through that. And then we started talking through just life. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him about different desires of my heart that were kind of prompting, and I didn't know, you know, what should I do? I have a good job. And he talked me through a lot of things, and there was a program called Act One, and I went and met Barbara Nicolosi.
Yes,
who was amazing.
Barbara, amazing.
Yes, and I had breakfast with her, and I remember I said, well, I'd have to quit my job. I wouldn't have insurance, all these things to go to Act One. And she said, well, then you don't want to do it. And I thought, okay, that's a good point. And I come from a family of 11. Mm-hmm. I'm the ninth. So it's not like you want to tell everybody what you're thinking when it comes to like, right. Hey, guess what I've decided.
It's like, and I'm not just out of college. Yeah, it's everybody's involved.
So I decided I'm going to apply. And if I apply and I get in, I'll go.
Right. So that would be your answer.
Yep. And so I did. And I packed my car. I remember I told my parents, and it just happened to be in the chapel at the hospital. Mm. And my dad was like, well, that's crazy, but we'll pray for you. And so I had such peace about it, even though it was a very crazy thing to do, especially, again, not being in my 20s and, boy, let's just go do this. I just really felt I had such peace.
What kind of foundation did Act One provide for you? Not even really knowing where it was going to go, but filmmaker, actress, writer, who knows?
The best part for me was a place to land with people who were like-minded.
Right.
Might be
with
in different
faith.
Spectrums, but it's faith. Mm-hmm. It's faith-based. And that's what I loved, because when you come from outside of L.A. and you don't know anybody, that's where you want to plug in. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, was the most invaluable. And it led to internships. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a non-trad intern, so that was really awesome, too. I'm like, hey, kids, mom's here.
Okay, so explain that a little bit. Non-trad intern being not your college intern.
Exactly.
You're a young professional. You're a professional woman.
Right, back in a whole new industry, a whole new...
Humbling yourself.
You know what? That year, that is what all of the discussions at Act One really were focusing on, was humility. Mm. And that was such a good thing, because it is humbling. Mm-hmm. But having that frame of mind was so helpful. And it was like God was just orchestrating all of these things to go, it's okay, because it is a humbling experience. But met the most wonderful people. And from that, ended up getting employment.
So Act One happens, and then you're starting to think about producing and creating content. And here this year, we have The Dating Project. We're working on it together.
Yes,
it's powerful.
Thankfully.
It is literally a mirror of the culture, and you nailed it. And people that have seen it said you nailed it. What is The Dating Project for our audience, first and foremost?
It's a film about the trends of hanging out, texting, hooking up, social media. Has dating really become outdated? Do people know that concept anymore? Over half of America is single, and we follow five people in varying age ranges. And we get to share their experiences. So somewhere along the spectrum, somebody might identify with the experiences that they're going through. It came about because Catherine Fowler Sample, she's married now. She's a success story.
Yes.
I'm still single. It's okay.
Fruit from The Dating Project. It's coming,
exactly.
Girl.
It's coming.
Amen.
The film hasn't been released yet.
Right. So we went to a dinner party, and there were 14 women, and all of them were single but two, and many not even remembering the last date they went on. You know, they were predominantly Catholic women, and it was kind of like, what's going on? And then we knew of a client that was looking for pitches for documentaries. Mm. So Catherine had done a Date in Every State pitch for a television idea. We said, we don't want it to be a reality. Why don't we do a documentary and build these archetypes and explore that world? And there is no question, without prayer, he's responsible, you know, and everybody says stuff like that, but he really did, because every step sometimes we'd be like, what is going on?
Right.
And then it'd go, oh,
right.
Wow. Kind of the look back going, oh, we didn't even see that happening. And it was happening.
Right. So a bunch of single people that really felt this pain point of being part of that over 50% in America. And really, how do we expose this? How do we expose this and open the conversation? It feels like the church in general and the culture could care less. You know, the culture could care less because the hookup culture is free license. And the church hasn't really been able to open the conversation or fix it. It's kind of like a demographic that they haven't been able to reach and haven't been able to solve. You know, we look at the sacramental index. Yeah. People are waiting longer to get married, or they can't get married, or whatever the reasons are. You're looking at those reasons. What have you discovered in doing the documentary?
I think the biggest surprise for me when we started, I'll just give a story related to it, was we were pre-interviewing at the very beginning two young college girls. And they said, well, we just right away, the first thing we say, and these are Catholics. Mm-hmm. So we were with two Catholic girls, and we said, you know, kind of what's the issue? And they said, well, right away, we just tell the guy we're not going to sleep with them. And when we first started, Catherine and I, we said, why don't you just ask where they're from? You
know, right, right.
How many siblings do you have? Do you like to go on bike rides?
Do you like ice cream?
It's like, don't start right. there. I mean, that was my mentality.
Right.
And then as we started to explore the topic and really get into the lives of people, and it's the Christian world is not exempt from the pressures
of the hookup culture.
Of the hookup culture, mm-hmm. of the over-sexualization.
The hanging out, just the blurred lines.
And in fact, we should be that light that people can say, oh, I want that kind of relationship.
Right.
I think we're struggling because we're human and look around. Everything is over-sexualized.
Right.
Every film, I'm using word every, things you should never use. I'm being very, very dramatic. No, but I think if you really think about it, think about the last movie you went to where there just wasn't one scene as a Christian where you're like, oh, I wish that one wasn't in there.
Right. Did we have to have that?
It wasn't necessary to move the story.
Valid? Right.
And I really do think it's made to be no big deal because it is such a big deal.
We did a screening in LA recently the other night, and it was really profound because some of the older people in the audience had a level of shock, even people who shouldn't be shocked. Okay,
right.
So like we
mm-hmm.
read the news, we know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You see some of all the creative cultural infusion of TV, radio. So should we really be that shocked at what's hammering young mm-hmm. people? Yet they were shocked to figure out that there's so much hookup culture that people don't date, they don't connect. If they get together, it's too soon, and it's always leaving them somehow completely in the rear, you know, psychologically, without the relationship that they thought they were going to get. And then the young people that were in the audience and people who called me on the way home after who just said, I wanted to scream, I wanted to cry, I breathed a sigh of relief. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're not alone. Like, it was like the good news and the bad news. So it's interesting that the dichotomy between the generations that are seeing this film that feel like it literally could be a cultural avalanche, which is what one attendee said. It's a cultural avalanche to really expose the heartache that's out there.
I could not agree more, because after hearing the story of the two women and then coming through the whole project, I realized, oh, that's why they're saying it. There is, in my opinion, no bigger social justice issue of our time than this topic. This topic of how am I supposed to treat another person? What does it mean to look at them with dignity and worth? Religious or not religious, but if you are religious, there's a whole bar there that we have to aspire to and not ask to be lowered. And that's
Amen.
Where I think the church can just have such a profound impact of teaching us, what does that mean? What does mm-hmm. it mean to be in relationship? Why did God design us this way? How right. am I supposed to treat each other? Because even in the Christian world, it's like, well, we have impulses, you know, we're human, we have
right.
these desires. And
right.
it's like, of course we do have desires, and the sacrificial part of keeping those desires in check will ultimately benefit relationships. And I really think this has to be discussed in a bigger way.
In a bigger way.
Yeah. We can feed the homeless. We can paint houses. We can do all those things in service for others. But in relationship, if we don't do that same thing to that degree.
It's primary.
It is primary.
It's primary.
Yep.
If you back it up to that,
yep.
everything else will flow.
Yes.
We're going to be back with Megan Harrington, producer of The Dating Project. I'm Alexis Walkenstein, and you're listening to Mary's Touch. Stay with us.
The Faith and Freedom Minute explores the intersection of our Catholic faith and modern American culture, offering insights to understand and navigate the divide between secular viewpoints and our Catholic principles. Brought to you by the Knights of Columbus, here is Texas State Deputy Douglas Oldmixon.
Catholic media has a unique opportunity to analyze the state of affairs in such a way that the common ground, basic values and truths, and the substance of the conversation can emerge, observes Archbishop Laurie. We have this tremendous tool in our Catholic social teaching that sheds light upon the issues we are facing in ways that transcend political party lines. And we need to have enough unity ourselves in the church that we can share the wisdom of this social teaching with the broader culture that will get a hearing. Catholic media, whether traditional or electronic, has an opportunity to contribute to the discussion and an obligation to do so, given the sorry state that cultural dialogue is currently in. We couldn't agree more. Will you join us?
This has been the Knights of Columbus Faith and Freedom Minute. To learn more about the effective witness and practical works of the world's largest Catholic family organization, please visit our website at kofc.org. That's kofc.org.
And we're back. I'm Alexis Walkenstein. You're listening to Mary's Touch, and I'm privileged to have in studio with me today the producer of the new movie, The Dating Project. Her name is Megan Harrington. She is a stellar L.A. Catholic. It's amazing to have met her and be collaborating with her this year and to have her in studio today. I'm inspired. The work that you're doing, Megan, with The Dating Project is profound and it's watershed, and I cannot wait for April 17th because this movie is just going to speak to so many people around the country. You mentioned when we were talking before the break, over 50% of America is single. That is a huge number. A lot of people, when they've pre-screened The Dating Project, had no idea that the statistic was that huge. They know there's a problem. They know that their kids aren't getting married exactly when they got married. They know that they're struggling to even date. It's kind of like this issue that's like the elephant in the room, and here you are exposing it. What I love about this movie, too, is, you know, you follow the dateables, these five individuals, 20 to 40s, in their individual different journey. But at the heart of all this is a woman named Professor Carrie Cronin from Boston College. And she has largely gone unnoticed for like the better part of a decade or more. She's been giving out the dating assignment. She had found out about the hookup culture on the campus. She thought it was insane, and she took it into her own hands. In her little area of expertise in her philosophy classes, she started to hand out extra credit dating assignments. And she's chipping away at the culture one student at a time. And you found her, and she's at the heart of this story.
Professor Cronin is making such an impact on dating, but she's also on her students. To see the way that they respected, looked up to, went to her for advice, it gives you hope in the university system, in colleges, in who young people are exposed to, because she just cares. I actually did not find her myself, but Catherine's sister, Catherine Fowler Sample, the producer's sister, was doing research on the topic because she was helping.
For the project, right. Yeah. So your team found her.
Your team, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure in case, Mary Colleen, if you're listening.
This is the humility of Megan Harrington.
Okay. So she said, you've got to see this professor. So we got her YouTube videos and we're reading her articles because there was an article in the Boston Globe or in the BC newspaper, and she was the dating doctor.
The dating doctor.
And so we called her and called her. Called her again. She's very difficult to get a hold of because Professor Cronin's biggest goal and responsibility in her life is her students. And then things come after
everything that. Everything else
left. Yeah. And so we eventually did get a hold of her. And she was very open to the idea, receptive. In fact, Jack Dunn, who is at BC, I think he's administrative.
The communications guy.
Communications
over there.
Director,
yeah.
Right?
Sure.
He had been wanting her message to get out more. So they were so cooperative. They let us.
That's
in fact,
wonderful.
I never met Jack Dunn. We'd be like, Jack, can we get tickets to the hockey game? And I mean, like, they'd appear.
So you spent a lot of time in Boston.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, there was a snowstorm. We got stuck for 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Try doing that with a budget.
Wow.
Unplanned, three extra days.
And that's the other thing. This is a smaller budget film. And,
and
it's an incredible piece of art. It really is. I don't think anybody would look at this and say, you know, this is a small budget piece. This is well thought out. The Holy Spirit's all over it. And you have the authority of Professor Cronin.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Her authority in this space is profound. And what she is trying to do is not say, don't hook up. She's saying, how about you go on a date?
Right.
Here's two choices.
Right.
Go on a date and then tell me how you feel. Because she makes them write a reflective essay of two pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there. Will that person hook up again? Who knows? God knows. The seed is planted.
Right.
And they know a different way because the culture is telling us what will make us happy and fulfilled. And it turns out it doesn't.
Right.
And when the kids went on this date, I mean, the one guy was like out of his mind. He had just asked her.
He hadn't even
gone on a date yet.
I love his line, too, where he says, so far, the dating experience by far exceeds any hookup that you could ever have.
Yep.
Now, isn't that watershed that you could actually have an impact on if one person at a time to expose them to a right ordered way of relating to one another.
And I think the thing that you pointed out and what Carrie's doing is providing people an opportunity that they're not alone, that it's okay. There are other people who don't want to participate, who don't want to maybe do things, maybe they do want to just go have a cup of coffee.
Right.
And that's okay. And in fact, that's the way it was designed.
Right.
Just get to know someone.
In a non-threatening.
See you.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, Megan Harrington will be performing this weekend.
Next up.
Yes. It's so true. I mean, it is. It's unbelievable. And I mean, we're in a certain age demographic. We're single.
Early 30s.
People are like, are you dating? Do you want to get married? Like they actually question your own motives because there are things that aren't happening. You know, you have a prayer life. You know, you're asking God for a fish. He's not going to give you a stone. But you're waiting. You can wait. But it's a peanut gallery around you that's kind of like questioning. But you want to say, hello, it's not just me. It's the whole culture. And if I'm a countercultural person and not living in this throwaway culture and the hookup culture, and I'm waiting for something that is under God, you know, it makes it a lot harder.
Oh, absolutely. And I think outside of the hookup, in different ways, we can not be prepared or not be engaged in relationship. You know, there's emotional attachment or just hanging out with a certain person all the time. But I also think it's really good. You know, I had someone say, well, I didn't think you wanted to get married. And I was like, what? How could you? No. And then I had to go, what about me is making someone think I don't want to get married? So there's a responsibility of reflecting on myself as well. Like the whole thing is self-reflective for me, the whole project. And even watching it, of like identifying, do I have those pitfalls? You know,
areas of improvement.
Yeah. It's one thing for everybody on the project, I think, took a little something. But you know, if more than one person is saying that, then change. You know, take some time to go, what is making somebody think that I don't?
Right.
Because I do and I'm single.
I think some of the findings that Professor Cronin has had over the years of doing this assignment are really fascinating. So here are just a few of them. Students in general have no idea how to date in a commonsensical way. I mean, really interesting. The BC boy who was like, I didn't know how to date until my professor taught me. What does that say about family life? You know, is it parents that they just don't want their kids to date, so they're just not getting into it? Or it's just assumed that they're going to live a certain way, so whatever.
I think the biggest teacher sometimes is the media and how you're supposed to be in a relationship. And think about when Friends started. It was very much non-commitment. It was sleep with your friends, sleep with whomever. Right. It wasn't showing really a good dating. And in some sense, I think parents probably just thought their kids might know, like, how could this be possible that you don't know how to do that?
Right.
When in a way they are a big addiction to your phone, there's a reliance on that.
Technology.
She shifted everything. And it's not a bad thing, but the inability to communicate in person. Like when she had to tell the kids, you have to ask in person and a date's just the two of you.
And no phones.
Yeah.
Phones are off.
Yeah. It's really...
Ever been on a date where the guy's on the phone the whole time?
Oh. I was going to make a joke about it. I haven't been on a date, but...
We won't ask you to divulge that on the radio. Okay, so Carrie did talk about technology. So students always want to talk about the impact of technology on dating, but the ubiquity of technology in this area, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Grindr, et cetera, seems to show simply that people still want to date, but the fear is still the thing that holds us back. Technology can't resolve the basic problem of fear of rejection. So the thing that kind of has created a barrier to kind of help people connect is really almost fueling, you know, some of the fear factor in a way and keeping people behind a veil.
Technology is easier to be rejected.
And then Carrie also says the dating assignment isn't about love and romance as much as it is about courage.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that true? And that courage to ask, and again, that falls back to her earlier, be rejected, of how do you communicate things as humans of kindness, but I'm not interested. Like the whole thing about, well, how am I supposed to respond? And I don't have to do that on a phone.
The other thing that I love in the doc is burning the friend zone down.
Oh,
let's talk about that. Is that not classic?
It's so funny.
Be willing to risk, you know, a friendship, you know, because really the stuff that matters is this human, connection and relationship. So.
And I think I don't know if it's in the actual film, someone did raise and said, well, what if there's a friend and I want to ask him out? And that is exactly the burn it.
Burn it down.
Burn that friendship. You have to 10,000 other people. Because I think we get too confused about, well, that man's going to be my friend for all of life. And it's like, at the end of the day, I mean, you're going to have a husband.
You're
and they're probably not going to want you to be friends with another
all
man
guys.
All
exactly.
the time hanging out.
I tell that to a lot of young women in my life, that you need to be completely emotionally chaste. You know,
that's
emotional
such a good
chastity.
Word. Yeah.
That emotional chastity is really about really being, you know, reserved and preserved for the one that you are you're intended for. So to give all that away, even in your emotions, never mind your body, is just too much too soon for anybody. And the emotions bring everything else forward. So it's harder to, you know, check yourself.
In fact, I had a friend who said that, who was chaste, but it said emotionally got too too tight. So there is this wholeness of being human and just really caring for another person more than yourself.
So The Dating Project is going to be released one night by Fathom. It's a PureFlix release, April 17th. What do we want people to do out there?
Well, we want people to go to the theater. We want them to go in groups, want them to have discussions. At the end of the movie, we would love if conversations started, conversations that people are afraid to have. Want to give it the liberty to start talking about really important things or things that are a problem with the dating world, or I disagree with the film. And then we talk about briefly pornography in the film. I mean, there's all sorts of things that really need to come to the surface with this. Want you to hashtag about it, hashtag The Dating Project. We're on social media, thedatingprojectmovie.com in Fathom Events, theaters nationwide.
Now, has this dating project inspired you toward the next, you know, level of
dating?
The next level of dating. Well, there's that. There's that, of course. The husband's on the way. I already know that. Your husband's coming. You've been faithful to this project. God's got your back. He's coming. No question. No question. We're going to have marriages around the dating project.
Oh, I hope. That would be wonderful.
Yes. Interesting that Professor Cronin had a pair of students.
Yes.
A couple. Well, you know, they became a couple, but the gal did not want to do the dating assignment and did not want to do it. And the man that she asked out is now her husband.
I know. It's so great. It gives people gives people an opportunity, because I do think that some women don't want to ask men on a date. Understandably, either do I.
I don't.
No,
yeah,
I don't.
I don't.
But this gives an opportunity, if it's a lot of buzz going, okay, this is, because even on campus, the girls could say, I have the dating assignment. Like, you can tell people
you
that you have this assignment.
So I have to do this thing.
And think about how far things have slid into very dark areas, that this might be in the old days, dropping the handkerchief. Might be.
Right.
I'm just going to let you know I'm interested.
Sadie
and
Hawkins.
After that, exactly. Sadie, oh my gosh, that's a great, look at, you must be in marketing.
I don't know. I have a gift.
Oh, you have many gifts.
So the drop of the handkerchief. I do think that's an interesting topic, because there are some women who are the traditional ilk that still feel like, you know, the guy needs to bust a move. And, how, you know, I'm letting him know. But in Carrie's world, it's a dating assignment. The girl is the onus on her as much as the guy. If you have the assignment, you got to ask. And I love the young woman from BC also, who she was kind of more of the hooker-upper type than the guy. And this is one of Carrie's findings, that men actually at this age, and maybe men overall, really have a desire, more of a desire to be in relationship than even women today. So whatever that says about how our culture is informing young people, I think that's fascinating.
Yes, and in this culture, sometimes they just need a little more courage, and you giving them an indication you like them. And then, like Carrie said, if they're busy or not interested, move on. And they aren't interested.
And she's like, rip the Band-Aid off. It's like, burn the friend zone down, move on. Do not get stuck, because you'll be psychologically a mess.
You're going to meet her next week.
Yeah, I'm going to meet her. Awesome. I can't wait. Going to Boston. So The Dating Project movie, April 17th. Megan Harrington, it has been amazing to have you on. We are going to be praying full throttle for the huge success of The Dating Project. And we want to have you back on again as we get closer to April, talk about some other aspects of this amazing documentary. Final words.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for having me. You're doing amazing things, and what an inspiration. I know too many people. Everybody's like, do you know Alexis? I'm like, I do. She's my best friend.
BFF forever.
You saying the most important thing is the prayer for our dateables. Shanzi, Matt, Rashida, Cecilia, and Chris.
Cover them in prayer.
Yes, and Professor Cronin. Just please pray for the project, and pray that it gets as many people as possible to see it, starts as many discussions. Be there April 17th and join a movement. You know,
Amen.
Join something different, date different, and, you know, kind of maybe hopefully just be at The Dating Project April 17th and date differently.
Awesome. I'm Alexis Walkenstein. This is Mary's Touch. Thank you, Megan Harrington. God bless you. God love you.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.